You're listening to a podcast on the Audio Boom Network. This is Walk the Talk with me, Dave Thomas. Thank you for downloading this edition of the programme. I do hope you enjoy it. You join me on a wet and grey Friday afternoon here in Lancashire. I've been invited to spend some time in Snowdonia, courtesy of the Curtis Palmer Project, which is part of the Pilgrim Bandits charity, in order to record a podcast on their work. I'm not sure what to expect, and there is a long drive ahead, so I'd better crack on.
It's fanned by strong winds, but also burning in two other areas of the island.
3 hours later, I arrived in Snowdonia at the RV point. On the dot of six, the course leader arrived. Myself and the others, driving behind, followed him to a remote location, a set of barns framed on three sides by near vertical mountains. If the charity wanted to show its special forces background, it was certainly working. There were police officers from all parts of the country, some serving and some retired. After introductions and some food, we all retired in preparation for the hike up Kader Idris, a leviathan of a mountain. We started early the next day, and after driving to the car park, started the climb to the summit. We stopped by a river for a short introduction into drinking fresh water.
If you drink this water, you're less likely to be depressed. Less likely to suffer from PTSD. So Zac Efron's running a program at the moment on Netflix. Normally he's that perfect six-pack bloke, but actually he talks about a lot of holistic healing. Yeah. And there's a nutritional expert who measures all the water basically for you. And this water, probably the best in the world for you guys. It's running off the mountain, it's coming up from those springs, but it's what your body intended to be. When you put the fluoride water inside your body from the taps, in effect, you're putting a mild diesel into a petrol car. Yeah, you can survive on it, you can drive on it, etc. This is the best sort of stuff for you. They teach you that if you pee and you smell sugar puffs, then you're bad. Yeah, you're bad because your body's expelling all that. If you pee and you're dark, you're bad. You should be drinking enough that your pee is running through your body and a clear urine. Obviously, that can be a false test if you're just down 2 litres in one go. You want to be, you know, regularly sipping as you're going. The thing that kills most people in the military when they're not on ops is deadfall. Yes, so a deadfall of trees, deadfall in the jungle, helicopter might knock over a tree. Here, look at all that wind damage to these trees. You have to choose your camping place right, don't you? You don't want to be underneath that, would you?
After several hours, we finally reached the top. Shrouded in mist and bound by the elements, we were bonding through our collective struggle. As we all left the summit of Kader Idris, we took the path that slowly took us back down into the valley. As we came round with the mountain to our right, we stopped. It wasn't planned. Nobody asked. We just did. And we all looked over to the mountain, the ridgeline cracking the sky apart from the land. We took our phones out and recorded a snapshot in time. Not like those poor folk at a rock concert, wanting to capture the moment without ever having lived it. We were all alive to what we were seeing, a living experience. Willing, allowing ourselves to be trapped into that moment. And our disbelief at what we had climbed with nothing more than our legs and our determination. Disbelief turning into self-belief for those broken souls who thought they weren't good enough, who brought their wounds to the mountain, who came down the other side a better person, where hope became a belief in self, where solitude became the foundation to reach out again. So I'm with Helen, who's an ex-police officer with the Metropolitan Police. I believe you've got quite a story that's brought you to this charity.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a long sort of history to my story, really. So it's none of it's recent. So almost 30 years ago now, I was on duty and I was stabbed. And then we were with three other officers and we were really seriously injured. And then a couple of years after that, I was caught up in IRA bomb in the same sort of shopping area. They went off, and although I wasn't physically injured, I was quite traumatised. Mm. And that's and this is sort of the early 90s. And then I joined the firearms department, and in 1994 I got shot. So in summarising it all, in that sort of four-year period, yeah, all that happened. And there just wasn't the awareness around mental health at the time at all. I was sort of pretty much burnt out at that point. And I was diagnosed about a year later with post-traumatic stress disorder, which was quite unusual, really, in the sort of mid-90s. So I was medically discharged with post-traumatic stress disorder, and that was it. Handed my warrant card in, and there was just no support at all. You know, that was it. Carried on being a mum and had some couple more children, and sort of life went on, and, you know, felt really that I was lucky to be alive, and that was it. And was very sort of physically active and sort of leaping way ahead. Last year I got asked to take part in the deadlifting world record to raise money for Rock to Recovery, the military charity. So we, a group of sort of mainly military veterans and me, we broke the deadlifting world record and raised nearly 5,000 for Rock to Recovery. And that sort of led me on a path, which I never really expected, of getting involved in another charity that's helping veterans called the Hidden Valley Bushcraft. I went along to one of their Woodland Warrior weekends that helps veterans and emergency services. They encouraged me to tell my story, which I hadn't done for sort of almost 30 years. You know, I just put a lid on it and didn't speak about it. And as a result of telling that story, I think Ish, who runs Curtis Palmer, saw a news clip on the BBC with me speaking, and he contacted me via social media.
Yeah.
Said, had you heard of Pilgrim's Bandits? And which I hadn't. We got in touch with each other, and he sort of helped me with a bit of public speaking to police forces, and then got invited along to this in Snowdonia. So that's sort of in a very sort of nutshell how it's all came about, really. So.
Have you done anything previously with the charity Pilgrim's Bandit? I know a few people have been to Norway and the Yukon River. They've been all over the place. Have you done anything similar?
No, nothing at all. I mean, the plan was to go to Norway in the summer, but obviously with the COVID restrictions, that all got cancelled.
Yeah.
And the only thing I've really done is speak, promoting Curtis Palmer to a few police forces before lockdown, incorporating my story and, you know, highlighting the good work that they're doing and trying to raise awareness of a charity that I didn't know even existed. That's all, you know, I've done. So this is my first, expedition away, so it's fantastic.
Well, it's I don't know, something magical seems to happen when you bring a group of people together and you take them into the mountains. Something special does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think nature is very powerful, and exercise, you know, and the combination of being out in nature and exercising, I think you talk as you're walking as well, and you're doing activities, and it just like brings you together and makes you realise you're not on your own. And I spent sort of the best part of 25 years since I, you know, was medically retired with no sort of support network at all like that. You know, I retired and handed my warrant card in, and that was literally the door was shut. So to sort of be part of something so wonderful that's, you know, helping people is amazing, really.
So what do you hope to get out of this week then for Helen?
I guess by helping, you help yourself heal, don't you? I guess that's the thing. Although I think I'm sort of quite a long way on my journey and, you know, got a lot of really good coping mechanisms. And I wouldn't say I'm particularly in the midst of struggling like some people. I'd like to think that I could help, from my experience, is help other people that are here more, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know, my journey and where, you know, how I've coped and the things I've used to cope and things like that. So just being that bit older than some of them and gone through it and come out the other side, really, I guess, in many respects, maybe, you know, can pass that on and share that.
Well, it's the old saying, isn't it? You've got to give to live.
And I guess all those years ago, gosh, 1984, I joined the Met when I was 18. I joined to help people, and so it's kind of come full circle, yeah. Really. So it'd be wonderful to think, you know, in whatever small way that, you know, by sharing my story and that I can help other people.
Well, that's brilliant. Helen, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thanks.
Most, if not all of this, would not have been possible without the man I'm about to speak to next. He's a trustee of the charity Pilgrim Bandits, who assist military veterans with physical and mental disabilities. The charity was exclusively set up for army personnel, but he reached out to the CEO after he noticed the similarities between the army and police and saw the benefits the charity would have for officers. The Curtis Palmer Programme was named after a police officer who had a brain tumour and whose dying wish was to do a parachute jump. The mantra for the armed forces personnel they help is always a little further, and he believes that now extends to the policing family. He has worked tirelessly to help colleagues back on their feet after they had suffered physical injury or mental health illness, and earlier this year won the Inspiration Award from his own local police federation. I managed to catch up with him after we got back down from Kader Idris. You join us today in the beautiful countryside of Snowdonia, and I'm with a gentleman called Damien Isherwood. Damien, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
As you say, Damien Isherwood, I'm an inspector in Thames Valley Police. I've been in the police about 20 years. Prior to that, I was in the commandos for 8 years. I'm the national lead for the Curtis Palmer Programme, which is an extension of the military charity Pilgrim Bandits. So Pilgrim Bandits, a military charity, have kindly extended their remit of help to the police, and now we help officers with mental health, PTSD and physical injuries try and get back to work in a better place.
So what are some of the things that a charity is kind of concentrating on to help people, as you say, get back to a better place?
So firstly, I think I'll just talk about the mental health within the police. We, whatever role we're in, we constantly face negativity, and after a period of time, that's obviously going to have a detrimental effect. The number one and number two reasons nationally for sickness are PTSD and stress. And so what we do is we take a real 360 approach to that. So we offer free education, so free open university courses that are short courses around 4 to 6 weeks long, 2 hours a week in emotional intelligence and well-being. We take people on adventure training, so they get all that endorphins from physical activities and team building. And then we offer buddy systems, and we train people up to take people away on expeditions. So last year we took 14 officers kayaking down the Norwegian fjords. This week we're up in Snowdonia. We've got 20 officers up in Snowdonia based in some barns that we've rented. A really important thing to talk about the Curtis Palmer program is it's free to the individual and to the force. So all referrals come through welfare directly to me, the National Police Lead for the Curtis Palmer Programme. And then I'll get in contact with that person and just invite them away. There's no bars. So last year we had an officer who lost a leg. Here we've got some people with PTSD. We've got some people with stress, some people with work burnout, an officer who had a heart attack at work. So a wide range of people. But it's just people who need a bit of help, and we're here to do that. We're here to, you know, get people back to work in a better place so they have a better work-life balance, because our staff are an important asset. And my force calculated that it spent £4 million on sickness in 1 year, and that's on PC hours times their hourly rate. Yeah. If we're going to win the fight on crime and we're going to invest on our staff, we have to have a real new approach to helping people with mental health, and this is I think one of the best approaches I've seen, which is why I'm involved in it.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the Pilgrims Bandit charity is based on military and special forces ethos, and I'm just curious as that how that bleeds through into to what you're doing with police officers that are needing help through the Curtis Palmer program.
Yeah, so when we went to Norway, we had some officers with PTSD, and I paired them with some military injured veterans, and they really worked well together. So I paired an officer with PTSD with a double amputee lad who got both his legs blown off in Afghanistan. That combined working together really brings out a benefit to them both. You know, our principles are along the lines of the special forces, but also relate to the police. So the first one is selflessness. We will help anyone. The unrelenting pursuit of excellence, which is what we all want to do. We want to look at ourselves and improve. Ability to laugh at your own misfortune, and that we brook no sense of class. So there's no rank on these weekends. You come away with me. There's no sir. There's no boss. You know, whatever rank you are coming here, you're one team, and we'll work together as one team.
Now, I've been up Cadis Idris today with you and the rest of the guys, and I was very impressed by how quickly people bonded together and did come together as a team.
Yeah, you're bringing people from all different walks of life here. We've got officers from maybe four or five different forces. But, you know, we've all got those. We all join the police for the same reason. We've all got those same morals and ethics. I think what we forget in the police is the constant drip, drip, drip of negativity is going to have an effect on people. At the moment, you and I were going to do 30-year careers. The new generation is going to do 35 years of careers. If we don't start early to look after them, running decompression weekends after critical incidents, running decompression weekends after things like PC Harper's murder, so those first people on scene after we've done all the evidence gathering, we're going to whisk them away, take them surfing, give them that safe environment to decompressurise with mental health workers in support, give them that 8 hours sleep, that good quality food, give them that support, then that's the only way we're going to deal with long-term mental health. It's almost about prevention is much better than cure.
And as you say, in police work, life's getting faster and faster, isn't it? And this is a way of just putting the foot on the football, really.
You know, when you and I joined, I've only done 20 years. I know you've done a bit more than that, but we had a bar at the end of shift. You know, we'd go for a bar. We had team sports clubs and things like this. And now the shift officers, especially with the coronavirus as well, now there isn't that work-life balance. They come in, they're out to job straight away, they're working hard, and then that's it. They go home at the end of the day. Where is their decompression? Where is the time to build them up as a team, to make them feel valued? And that's where things like us have to come in, you know, where charities have to step in. I think forces need to take a responsibility. I think forces are getting better. I think most forces now have mental health experts or blue light champions. I think we're recognising it and I think we're getting better. But, you know, there is an uphill struggle for us.
Well, talking of uphill, and like I say, we've been up Cadis Idris today. Fantastic walk. What does the rest of the week look like for the people that are here?
Yeah, so tomorrow we've got some guys from the commandos just coming and teaching about survival, about setting up bashers and lighting fires and things like this, which are core skills that we use on our expeditions. And then we're going to climb Triffin, which is a nice mountain in the north of Snowdonia. Then we've got a day off where we're going to do some wild swimming with a person who believes that wild swimming is part of helping PTSD and stress. And then we climb Snowdon or walk up Snowdon, and then a further day. The way that I see it is, you know, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, and I don't believe that there's one size fits all for curing PTSD or stress. So we get lots of external instructors to come in and speak to the people, and hopefully one of them will pick up on that. You know, like when you revise for your skipper's exam, somebody will look for the book and they will learn that way. Someone else will learn from the DVD. Someone else will go to the revision weekends. You know, there's no one size fits all. And so that's what we try and do. We try and mix it up so people have a breadth of experiences and interaction.
Finally then, as the charity moves forward, what are your plans and hopes for the future?
Yes, at the moment we're probably engaging with about 5 police forces. You know, we'd love to engage with 43 police forces. We'd love for every police force to be able to send us their staff. We're very lucky. We've got national lottery funding. We've got some funding from the Federation and from various different organisations. And so I believe that, you know, there's a potential for us, well, to prevent tragic incidents like the incident that happened 2 days ago where a detective took his own life. That should never happen. That should never happen. You know, this is a job and we need to understand this is a job. And outside of the job, we've got families and friends and brothers and sisters and mothers who care for us and love us. We've got to get that balance right.
Damien Isherwood, I think you're doing fantastic work. It's humbling to watch, and I've certainly enjoyed today, so thank you for your company.
Thank you, and well done for getting up to the top and back down. Well done.
As I left the remote Welsh mountains, I wondered about the journeys each of those folks would travel, both physically and mentally, over the coming days. The mountains really do bind people together, and in the short time I had spent with them, I felt a camaraderie I had not experienced in a long time. They walked up the mountain alone, but came back down together. You can't truly embrace life, fully enjoy it, unless you have another human being to share it with. Perhaps the great American poet Robert Frost said it best. In three words, I can sum up everything I've learnt about life. It goes on. In all the confusions of today, with all our troubles, with politicians and people slinging the word fear around, all of us become discouraged, tempted to say this is the end, the finish. But life goes on. It always has. It always will. Don't forget that.